The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
One of the central images of Parashat Balak is the story of Bilam on the way to meet Balak, and there he was being hired by the King Balak to curse the Jewish people. So on the way he's traveling on his donkey, and the donkey sees an angel of God in front of him that is trying to prevent Bilam from proceeding along the way for Bilam's good, in order that he not just if he curses or if he even tries to do something bad to the Jewish people, he will be punished for it. So it says that the angel was an angel of mercy that was attempting to prevent Bilam from his own personal disaster. But Bilam didn't see the angel, only the donkey saw the angel, and the donkey tried to stop moving time after time. And Bilam didn't understand why the donkey is behaving in this totally unnatural way. So he hit the donkey over and over again, three times he hit him. And after the donkey just stopped completely, so one of the most amazing things that the Torah relates is that the God Hashem opened the mouth of the donkey and the donkey began to speak. There are only two times in the Torah that we find that an animal talks, an animal speaks. So this is the major image that we shall meditate upon this week in Parashat Balak, is the speaking donkey. The other time, which is in the very beginning of the Torah, in the first parasha of Genesis, is in the Garden of Eden, that the snake speaks. The snake speaks to Eve, to even before she was given the name Eve, she was just called woman, Isha. She was only given the name Eve afterwards, after the primordial sin, which was due to the seduction of the snake. So the snake approached Eve and he began to converse with her, and he told her, first of all, he asked her if she's allowed to eat from all of the trees. And when she answered that yes, excepting for one tree that God told us not to eat from, that on that day that we eat from it, we will die, you shall die, that's what Hashem said. So the snake then came and tried and talked her into yes eating it by promising her. He said that you don't know, I know better than you, that God Himself is actually jealous of anyone else that assumed the ability to create, and that if you'll eat from this fruit, you'll become like God to create worlds. Just as He creates, you shall be a creator. So little by little, he seduced Eve into eating from the fruit. That's the first time that we find an animal speaking to a human being, a conversation between an animal and a human being. But we don't find that the snake spoke with anyone else excepting Eve. Notice he didn't speak with Adam. He just conversed with Eve. And then after Eve had been seduced by him, had succumbed to partaking of the forbidden fruit, then she went on to seduce her husband. The sages even say that the snake knew that it's easy for him, or it's possible for him, only to seduce the woman. And then he also knew that only the woman is able to seduce the man. So that was his plan of action, which succeeded for him, for the bad of mankind, for the bad of him also, because he was also cursed afterwards. So the result of that conversation between an animal and a human being was actually a triple or quadruple curse, that first the snake was cursed at the end of the sin, and then Eve was cursed, and Adam was cursed, and the earth was also cursed. So the result of that was a curse. Here, the story in Parashat Balak is that Balak is hiring Bilam, who's an expert in cursing, and he's such an expert that his curses come true. So he's hiring him also to curse the Jewish people. At the end, God does not allow him to curse. He actually he forces him against his will to transform and convert all of the curses that he wanted to curse into blessings. They all come out as blessings, even though his inner intention was to curse. Nonetheless, it says at the end he gave a very, very bad advice, let's say an evil advice, to Balak how to bring the Jewish people to sin in prostitution with the daughters of Moab and so forth, in order that because God hates sinning, especially hates prostitution, and because of the sin, so actually many thousands of Jews were killed as a result. This was the evil advice that Bilam gave at the end, and that's why he was also punished at the end. But the whole story is a story that he wants to curse, which is actually the result of the first conversation between an animal and a human being. And in the midst of the story, we have this amazing image of the donkey beginning to converse with Bilam. So, but here the whole context of the conversation is different, because here the conversation is that the donkey is justifying himself in the eyes of Bilam. Why did I stop walking? Why did I behave in this unnatural way? So actually he rebukes Bilam. He said, did you ever see me act in such a strange way? Why did you hit me? He begins by saying, why did you hit me three times? And then after Bilam says, well, I hit you because you misbehaved. You were a bad donkey. So the donkey then says to him in a very logical, we'll call it a deeply logical way, he says, did you ever, in all of the years and years that I've been your donkey, I've been your trustworthy and faithful donkey, and I've always done exactly what you want, did I ever behave in this unnatural and strange manner? Did I ever do against your will? And then Bilam had to acknowledge and say, no, you never did like this. Meaning that the rebuke of the chastisement of the donkey to Bilam was that you should have learned, you should have relied upon experience, you should have understood that since I have always been your good and trustworthy donkey, so if I'm now behaving this in this strange and natural way, you should realize that there's some good reason for it, even though you don't see. But you should have tried to think of and to understand or intuit something behind my behavior, which you didn't. Now at the end, the sages say that because the donkey was so successful in rebuking, the donkey was here right and Bilam was wrong, but even though the donkey was right and Bilam was wrong, because he was successful in rebuking Bilam, and Bilam, he was a very, very wise person, a very smart guy, but nonetheless, since the donkey here beat him intellectually, and the intellectual plane of the discourse, the conversation between them, so in order for the sages say, for the sake of the honor of the donkey, that people shouldn't afterwards say that this is the donkey that fought and this is Bilam's donkey that beat him in his rebuke. So actually, God said it's better for the donkey to just be killed at this moment. Only in Kabbalah we can understand what happened afterwards in other reincarnations of this miraculous special donkey, but in this particular incarnation, so it's better for him now to die and not for people to look at him and recall this story. And in any event, that's the story of the donkey. So the meditation of this week is God, the verse reads, and God opened the mouth of the donkey, meaning that it's a miracle. In the primordial story of the Garden of Eden, it doesn't say that God did some special miracle to open up the mouth of the snake. It's just natural. So that the snake said, it starts saying that the snake was the most cunning animal that God had created in creation. And then it goes on to simply say that the snake began speaking with Eve and asking her, are you allowed to eat from all of the fruit of the trees? Didn't say that there was some special miracle that God opened up his mouth to speak. So there are many commentaries about this, but for our sake, it's just that the speaking of the snake is a more natural, self-understood conversation, whereas here it's definitely described as a supernatural event, that God had to open up the mouth of the donkey, and then the donkey began to speak to Bilam. Right, so to meditate upon these two images, the image of the speaking snake and the speaking donkey that go together, so we have to first understand that mankind is divided into three general divisions, that these are the three sons of Noah. Noah had three sons. One is Shem, that all of the Semitic peoples descend from Shem, including the Jewish people. That's why very often the Jewish peoples is referred to exclusively as Shem, as the ongoing continuation of the son of Noah, whose name is Shem. But then there is the second son is Japheth, whose name means beauty. As world cultures, or was, as civilization is concerned, so Japheth is the origin of Greek culture. Greek culture is basically all of what we would call Western civilization, Western culture, that is Greek and Roman. This all derives from Japheth. The third son is Ham, and all the original culture of mankind, even before Japheth became a prominent, which is the Egyptian culture and the culture of the Far East, all of this comes from Ham. Now, in general, the difference between Ham and Japheth is that Ham is more emotional and Japheth is more intellectual. In the Shem is actually the perfection and the rectification of both the intellectual side of man as well as the emotional side of man, the perfect balance, and also each one in and of itself a rectified or holy intellect, means an intellect that perceives, is able to perceive in reality divinity, godliness, and also emotion, which is positive emotion, which means love of mankind, love of God, love of all of the eternal and good values of the Torah. The snake, in general, is the perversion of the emotion of the heart. The snake, when the snake begins to speak, if and when any animal begins to speak, so it means that animal now is assuming a human role. He's becoming human-like. So we have these two examples in the whole Torah of animals becoming humans and then conversing with humans, that one is the snake becoming a human and the other is the donkey becoming a human, because actually the very definition of a human being is medaber, as a speaker. So as soon as an animal speaks, he metamorphosizes into a human figure. The difference, as explained in Kabbalah, is the speaking snake is the spiritual origin of Ham and that culture. And the snake is, we would call it a basic symbol of Egyptian culture. But Egypt is the most important culture that derives from Ham. Whereas the speaking donkey, this is the very interesting and amazing thing that relates particularly to this week's Torah reading, is a symbol of Greek and Western civilization, the speaking donkey. And one of the beautiful allusions to this is that the word aton, where there are several words for donkey in Hebrew, the most normal word for donkey is a chamor. Here the word is not, the word is used in the context of Bilam is aton, not chamor. And aton sometimes means a female donkey. There's another word for a young donkey called ayir, meaning there are several different synonyms for a donkey, but the one that's used here in reference to Bilam and to this miracle of the donkey becoming humanized, a speaker, is aton. And it says that aton is the root of the city Atuna. Atuna is Athens, which is the center of Greek culture. In about Athens, we're taught in the Gemara that there were elder, wise men of Athens that argued, had debates with the greatest sages of the Jewish people, Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya, that actually he defeated them in the debate. But that debate that the Gemara talks about, actually it's very amazing that the Gemara talks about it in the very same context of talking about miracles that relate to different types of animals, like also including there the image of the snake. But there's a whole long discussion in the Gemara of this debate between the elders called Savi Devei Atuna, the elders of Athens, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, the great Jewish sage who defeated them. So this debate, the origin of a debate between animal and man, is the story of this week, the debate between Bilam and his donkey. I mean, once more, it's a rational, intellectual conversation. The conversation, now if we go back to think about the conversation between the primordial snake and Eve, so the conversation was truly in order to seduce her. Was the purpose of entering into talk with Eve was in order to influence her mind, but her mind as it relates to her heart. Was to get to her heart, to seduce someone, to seduce his heart into doing something. Now, to try to choose the right words, sometimes when you're talking, a person has to understand the human being. The good human being is Shem. That's us. Even though in this particular story of this week's parsha, the debate is between a Rasha, between Bilam HaRasha, who is an evil figure, and his a donkey. But relatively, the human being is now either being debated with, or he's being seduced. Either by, we'll call it the Egyptian culture, or by Greek culture. That Egyptian culture is the snake figure, and Greek culture is the donkey, the donkey figure. That originally these correspond to the two other sons of Noach, Ham and Yefet. And what is the difference? The difference is that the snake talking, in order to seduce Adam, the manner in which he seduces her, we'll call it in English opportunism, meaning in the sense that he's seducing her by saying that if you eat from this forbidden fruit, you will become like God, you'll be able to create worlds, you'll know good and evil just as God knows good and evil, and you'll be able to, because the tree that we're speaking of was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you will also know good and evil, and thereby you will be able to create worlds just as God creates worlds. So to seduce a person to doing something which he first knows and understands that it's not the right thing to do, because she knew that this was not the right thing to do. But how can you get her nonetheless to want to do it? Even though it's to go against her first inclination of understanding that this is forbidden, it's through a thought of opportunism, that here you have a one-time opportunity to become like a god. So people become blown up with a feeling of aggrandizement when a person, when they're being told that here you have a tremendous opportunity, let's say you would come to someone and say you have an opportunity now to make $1 million, it would be terrible if you'd lose this one chance, this one opportunity that you have. So that's a snaky way of approaching and seducing another person, is with opportunism. That's the image of the snake speaking to Eve. Whereas the other time that the animal starts to speak with the human being is debate, is what's called self-justification. Who's right and who's wrong? But you hit me, says the donkey to Bilam. Why did you hit me? Was I deserving of being hit? Especially you hit me 3 times. I wasn't deserving of being hit. Because afterwards Bilam said, actually in each one it's also very interesting that there's a common denominator between these two discussions. In each discussion the animal begins to say something to the human being, and then the human being answers, and the animal answers once again, and that's all. I mean, in both cases the animal speaks 2 times. The snake speaks 2 times and the donkey also speaks 2 times, and in between the 2 times the human being answers him, responds. Even the very fact that these two conversations go together in the Torah is indicated by the fact that in the first discussion between the snake and Eve, the words of the snake, there are 26 words, which, as we said just now, divides into 2 segments. This first segment, the first time that he speaks, it's only 9 words, tet, and then the second part of his words to Eve are another 17 words. So it's 9 and 17 equals 26. In relation to the donkey, now in this week's parasha, so the first time, the first sentence that he says is composed of 8 words, and the second sentence that he says after Bilam responds to him has 15 words in it, meaning that there are 8 and 15 is 23 words. If I'll put them together, this is a phenomenon that if two things organically connect in the Torah, so one of the indications of that is that when they're combined, either the number of letters or the numbers of words are combined, it forms together a completion, some perfect number, that in our case it's a square and not just a regular square number, but the square of 7, a very special number, 7 squared 49. That's what happens when you take the 26 words of the snake, the 26 is also a very important number, the value of Hashem's name, and add to it the 23 words of the donkey. So altogether it's now 49 words, which is 7 times squared words, indicating that these two conversations interrelate and actually complement one another and should be seen as combined to one another. But again, it's two different ways to approach the human being, either through proof of being right. It's that's saying that the evil inclination comes to you and wants to seduce you into doing something wrong. So it can do it in one of two ways. It can either do it by means of how good it will be for you if you do this bad thing, especially like in this case, this is your one and only opportunity to gain some tremendous profit if you do this avera. So that convinces Eve that it's worth trying. There are many similar stories, but just say other stories that it's told in Kabbalah, in the tradition of Kabbalah, and even in the tradition of the Baal Shem Tov and disciples of his greatest disciple, the Maggid, that they were on very high spiritual levels, and some of them merited to spiritual guides, to spiritual souls or angels of one kind or another that would converse with them. This is not now animals, this is angels, spiritual guides. but not always, and this is also something very, very important, you know, not always as a spiritual guide from the side of Kedusha, from the side of holiness. Sometimes you can have a spiritual guide that you talk with, and he's actually deceiving you or even seducing you. So there are certain famous stories that were taught, and this is important for people to know, that after having been connected to a spiritual guide for many, many years even, and all the time the messages that were conveyed were okay, and then once the guide comes to the to otherwise who would be a Torah scholar and a great person, and he says to him that if you have, this is one of these stories that are told, that if you have relations with your wife when she is forbidden to you, then you will give birth to the Mashiach, because the Mashiach can only be born through forbidden sexual relationships. So this is an example, another example of the type of seduction of the snake speaking to the human being. Once more, you have this great one-time opportunity to give birth to the Mashiach. The only thing that you have to do is transgress the commandment of the Torah relating to the holy laws of matrimony and when it's permissible to be together with one's wife. The other way of addressing a human being, again, we're now abstracting it, that the animal, here the animal soul, addresses the human being also for however right the donkey was vis-a-vis Bilam, but still he was not, does not represent a holy figure at all, just the opposite. He represents Greek culture. And the way that Greek culture addresses people is by proof. Is by debate and proof. I'll prove it to you. QED. QED is a Greek thought process. I've proven to you my statement, or my saying, my thought. So this is totally intellectual. Another thing that's even more deeply related to Greek culture is that the way that the donkey here proves his case to Bilam is by basing himself on what, even on a concept in Torah which is called Chazakah. Chazakah means the continuity and constancy of natural laws. Now, how can you think that I'm a bad donkey because I stopped in the way and I didn't follow your instructions? Don't you know and don't you remember? How can you forget that for years and years and years I've been your trustworthy donkey and I'm always doing exactly what you want? So how can I today, all of a sudden today, become a bad donkey when I've been a good donkey all the time? What is the intellectual thought process involved in that? The thought process is that a person has to rely on the constancy of natural law. Now, this is exactly the debate between Greek philosophy and between Jewish thought. The Jewish thought does believe, even actually now what's happening is a great miracle, which is totally breaking the natural line that the donkey is talking in the first place. So it says that God opened up the mouth of the donkey. But what is he saying? He's saying that you should have relied upon the constancy of events, of cause and event, that I am always, have always been okay, meaning that I now am also okay. And if I did something strange, so you should have thought that there's a deep reason behind it, and that you shouldn't have judged me that I'm a bad donkey. Right, so on the one hand, this is, he defeated him in the debate, but he defeated him with the way the Greek culture grasps the rules of nature, based upon continuity and the continuum and the constancy of natural law and order. That's the deep sense behind this. So now what we have described then in this meditation is we have these two images of an animal talking with a human being. Both images are not good. Even the pshat and the Torah, these are two impure animals. Both the snake is an impure animal and the donkey is also an impure animal, even though the donkey serves a function that he aids a human being, but nonetheless it's an impure animal. And both of them address the human being in different ways. One through the relation between the mind and the heart, and having the mind succumb to the opportunism that is suggested. It's the power of, or the snake seduces through the power of suggestion, it's called. That you're going to become like God. Whereas the donkey defeats you in argument. And the basis of the argument is the laws of nature, which is the very opposite, in a certain way, of becoming like God. Because becoming like God is to create new nature, to create nature anew. And here the donkey, and on the other hand, we also have something, it's called the Vavi Puchos, I think in its opposite, that the way that the opportunism of the snake, the fact that he speaks in the first place is natural. It doesn't say that God made a miracle to open his mouth to speak. It's as though this is a natural part of human nature, that the snake is always trying to seduce the human being through opportunism. Whereas the speaking donkey itself, it says, is a miracle. The one that says a miracle, but what he says is he gives sense, or he gives expression to the continuity of the laws of nature. So then the conclusion of this is, after picturing our snake and our donkey talking, so we now have to know how to deal with both of these and how to overcome the two tendencies that correspond to the snake, corresponding to Cham. Cham, the literal meaning of the word Cham is hot, heat. It says that the poison of the snake is hot. There are two different poisons, Chazal say, the poison of the snake and the poison of the scorpion. The Akrav, that a scorpion has cold poison, but a snake has hot poison. Well, that hot poison of the snake, that's also from the word Cham, that it affects the heart. It begins from the mind, but it affects and seduces the heart. Whereas the Aton, as we said before, the Aton is Athens. The Savi Devei Atuna is the Greek wise philosophers. They're the speaking donkey. So we have to do the tikkun and overcome the evil in both of them, and do the tikkun, and that way we'll be able to rectify all of humanity.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galina means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinite team and participate with Rabbi Ginzburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Chassidut. Together, the Galinite team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galinite team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. Or email us at inner@inner.org.